so much for this evening, Father. We thank you, Lord God, just for the chance to come together, Lord, in your name, Father. We just, right now, Lord God, with all that's going on around us, Father, the world that we're living in, Lord, and all the distractions, Father, and the troubles and the trials, Lord, that people face, Father, we just leave everything at the side right now. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we just come before you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of truth and for your life that flows into us because of Christ and because of what happened on the cross. And Lord, this day, Lord, this night, Father, we come as your children, boldly before your throne of grace, Lord, knowing that you are with us, Father, and that you receive us, Lord God. So, Lord, right now, Father, as we just would spend some time together, Father, in your word, Lord, and in prayer, Lord, we pray, Father God, that you, by your Spirit, would speak to us, Father. Right now, in Jesus' name, I get out of the way. And Lord, I invite the free flow of your Spirit, Father. Lord, we just pray that every word that's spoken, Lord, be according to your plan and purpose. And Lord, that you'd lead and direct and guide this time. Father, we bind every demonic force, every hindering spirit. We cast it out, Father, and Lord, we just leave every care and concern at the side. And Lord, we come forward with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So a little bit of a recap.
Okay. What did you do last week?
Well, we've been in a bit of a series. And so we titled it Keep It Simple. Yeah?
Okay, I was there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So with... Okay. Let's go back here. And let's look at Mark chapter 4 when Jesus told the parable. The parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4 verse 3. Jesus said, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto these that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? Then how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside which the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Okay. Now, one thing about Scripture, and this is something we discussed a while back, is as you continue to read and as you continue to study, it's a spiritual book. And so when you read Scripture, one thing you'll start seeing is the Scriptures all are interwoven together, and they're timeless. So you'll read something written 1,500 years before this other one, and yet they'll be like, oh, wow, wait, that connects. And it really does. So the whole Scripture, because God is involved in the orchestration of it, and it's breathed by His Spirit, it all ties together. So like when you look at it, so for example, take this one, and then go to John chapter 1, And John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay. In the same way, in the beginning, with the same was with was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning, all right. So Jesus Christ is the Word, and He was there at the very start, right? Okay. Now, go to John 14. And verse 6, where he says that Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." All right. So Jesus, John 14, verse 6. Okay. So now Jesus, being the Word, is also the way, the truth, and the life. So now you take that back to this parable, and when it says that what's being sown is way, truth, and life. So the sower soweth way, truth, and life. And so so that's why, too, when you have somebody that, say, for example, preaches on a Sunday, well, are they preaching, and is it way, truth, and life? No, then it's not the Word. You see? So it's like somebody will get up there, they'll stand up there with a Bible, and they'll be like, okay, well, and but when they're preaching, there's no life in it. It's coming from a spirit of death. There's partial truth and a lot of opinion, and then and the way that they're giving you is actually the way of the world and not the way of Christ. So what it's being substituted in is the Babylonian religious system that's at enmity with God, and they're just enslaving more and more people. So really, truly, what's being sown is not the Word in those cases, though they're using a Bible. Do you see the difference? So what somebody that truly is sowing the Word is sowing way, is sowing truth, and is sowing life. Now when that comes, when the way, the truth, and the life is coming, when the true Word is being sown, this is then elaborating on, okay, when that comes out, here's often, this is four reactions, four responses, four sets of things that happen with that way, truth, and life that's sown. You know, the first one being, well, Satan doesn't want anybody to know what that is. So first thing that he works to do with that seed is to take it away from people. So, I mean, how often do you see, even in the world that we live in, where the truth is twisted, where the truth is blurred, where the truth is made subjective, you know? And so it's like, and that way is confused. You know, where, you know, it's like people a lot of times, especially, and this is one of the real downsides of religion, but people start to believe because they're okay with the person that they're okay with God. Yeah. And so what happens is somebody will stand up there in the position of God, having imposed themselves as your high priest, though you only have one high priest, who's Christ Jesus. They'll have put themselves in a position based on an old covenant standard, and said, okay, now I'm your mediator between God and you, and I'll let you know if you're okay with God or not. And then so people say, oh, okay, well, I'm alright with the pastor because I tithe and I show up to the meetings twice a week, and he pats me on the head like a good little boy. So it's like, so then they believe that they're okay with God. And they've substituted in another way that has nothing to do with Christ. I'm amazed whenever I like spend any time with these churches, because they, you know, for one or another reason, they'll end up having to do something with them here or there, and oftentimes it's God sending me in on a rescue mission, you know, but when I, it's like people get deceived, and so it's like, so that either that thing has been, I mean, here in verse 15 it says, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And so it's like, whenever you have a true messenger, how often are the true ones discredited right away? I mean, look back to the scriptures. How many of the true prophets of God were marginalized, put outside, killed, chased, hounded all over the place? And it's the false ones that are, you know, that have the approval of the world. Now, when the true ones, after they die, and some time passes, and then everybody realizes, whoa, that was somebody, then they will enshrine them, build their tombs, say what a great person that one was, and then the false ones will use their credibility to try to legitimize themselves in the modern day. And just that pattern repeats and repeats and repeats. But even today, in today's context, the true prophets of God and the true servants of God, the ones that I know, by and large, have been pushed outside of the system. They're not allowed in, they're not allowed around, because they're dangerous. They collapse the whole thing if they're within earshot. So, but God is still finding ways to get that message out. But even like John the Baptist, where did people have to go if they wanted to hear his message? They had to go out into the wilderness, because that's where God had put John the Baptist. And so it was like they had to go out and leave the system in that place and go into a place where it's difficult to be, so that they could then receive the word and receive what it was that God was doing at that time. And today, even in this day and age right now, especially now, the systems and the institutions have been thoroughly infiltrated and corrupted. And what you have is you have a smattering of God's people in there. Most of them, you know, they're waking up right now and realizing, wait, this is not it. This is, something's not right here. And then you have those that have been woken up, that God has pulled out, and they're seeking to get the message to people, but they're having to do it in the face of great opposition and great oppression and tons of spiritual attacks. And because they shine in the spirit, they're, you know, it's like a big bullseye on their back, and they're the subject of lots and lots of, you know, witchcraft and charms and incantations and all kinds of things that are done against them. So, because there's a very real spiritual battle taking place right now in the world we live in, over and for the souls of men and women. I mean, it's just we're in the middle of this fight, and God uses us as witnesses and ambassadors for this. But with this, back to the parable. You know, other things that happen with this way and this truth and this life when it's sown is, you know, there's some people that receive it right away, but then, you know, because there's no depth and they haven't allowed the Spirit of God to cultivate a depth of it with them, they fall apart. See, okay, for example, look at what happened with Jesus. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon him, when the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove, the first thing that happened with him was he was sent out into the wilderness to be tested and to be tempted. And when you look through Scripture, Moses did 40 years in the desert. Joseph had 13 years of trial and tribulation and was in the dungeon and all of that stuff. Daniel, you know, had his tests and his time of testing. You know, you just start going through each one of these guys, and they all, Paul did 3 years in the backside of the desert in Damascus and all that whole thing, because there was a time when God was building in a depth of relationship and foundation with them, so that when he built them up and when they would move with the call and the purpose that he had for them, that they would be able to stand. And one thing that religion does, and this is again another downside of it, is, okay, the first thing that they'll try to do is get you in a small group somewhere, or get you in some place, and coddle you. You know, and rather than allowing the Spirit of God to take you through a wilderness experience and to just dig in and root out and to expose and reveal your heart, they will, they will seek to keep you this big fat baby and leave you like that. And then what happens is, so what happens is there's no depth. There's no depth that's been established. Like, even if you're building a building, I mean, there's all the construction going on here in Colombo. How long before you see the first brick above ground? Yeah, I mean, to lay that foundation takes time. And so, hey, ¿cómo estás? Welcome. Come. So to lay that foundation takes time. And with what happens with the the system of religion versus the way that Christ takes people through. In the way that Christ takes people through, he'll take time to lay a foundation in a person's life, in a person's heart, so that when it's built up, that there's something there. There's something there that they can last when the trials come.
But how do you apply, like, I mean, now with the way things are going and how hectic your life is, I guess back then it was easy, you could take them off, mm-hmm. like you said, to a visit or something, and then how is it possible for you to do it now?
Modern day, see, this is again, this is where it's an individual walk with Christ. Each person, you have to allow the Spirit of God to work with you, because see what he does, again, each one of those people that we mentioned, they all had a different amount of time they spent in the wilderness. Spent in the wilderness. Each one of them, like, some did 3 years, some did 40, some did, Jesus did 40 days. I mean, it's like, it's a different span, and it's a different way that they went through that experience. But all of it had for a specific result, which was, and so that's why too, see, God is a custom builder. You know, he builds custom homes. He builds custom. I mean, he's like, he's individual with each person, and that's why too, versus the organized religion and the Babylonian religious system, which seeks to mass produce and find a formula that'll work for getting butts in seats. And he's like, that's so. It's like, okay, everybody goes through this program. Everybody goes through that. Check it out. You've done the, you know, the membership seminar, and you've done the this, and you've done the that. And it's like, well, wait a second, maybe, you know, that's not the way God wants to work with you. You know, is there room and space for that? Maybe, maybe not. So, but ultimately, the Spirit of God will draw you into that. And part of the walk is, hey, ¿cómo estás? Welcome. Part of the walk is allowing for him to take you through that, to take you through that depth creating experience in you, so that you have roots, that you have a foundation. And if you don't, then when the test comes again, you can't stand. And see, right now you see this. We're in Mark chapter 4. What you see is all over the world right now is you see people beginning to collapse because they have no root in themselves, they have no foundation, they don't have way, they don't have truth, they don't have life. And so because what's happening and what's coming on the world, they're falling apart, because now it reveals that there's nothing there, there's no there. They might look like they have something above the surface, but nothing beneath, nothing below, and when the trial comes, it's like, it's gone. But you know, like I saw these pictures, you know, when I was a kid, I remember of like seeing trees, and how the taproot, you know, and so many of them will go as deep as it is tall.
Yeah.
So like when you see like a tree, and a really tall tree, it's like, you're a 100-foot tall tree, it's like the root goes down that same depth, and it's just amazing. And that's why, like, some of these trees, like, you can't root them out of the ground. I mean, it's like, it's just, they're just, like, it's so deeply rooted that it's like you'd have to just, you know, get cranes and bulldozers, and it's like, it's just, they're amazing examples just in nature. Okay, so, but different responses to... and different ways that the word way, truth, and life comes forward. And then what happens with it when people are faced with it? What happens with it, the response to that word? See, here's something else too. Like you even go back to the garden when God, you know, asks Adam, you know, after the whole thing's, you know, the whole system's, everything messed up, and he's like, you know, Adam, where are you? Now, God knows where Adam is. You know, he knows where Adam is. I mean, but what God is looking for is his response. You know, and so much of about the world that we're living in and the things that we're facing is like God is looking for our response. What do you do with that way, that truth, and life when you face it? What do you do with the word of truth when it comes to you? How do you receive it? What happens with that? What does it do in your life? So as compared to so because he already knows, but when we go through that, it's solidified for you know now too, and you have free will, you have an option, you know, we can go with it or not to. The next one was that, you know, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word and choke the way, choke the truth, choke the life, and it becometh unfruitful. And you see that, I mean, especially now all of us, you know, because everybody in this room is working and involved, you can see how quickly and how easily the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, that impact that that can have on the way, on the truth, and on the life of God in your life. And if you don't, the scripture's admonition to the people of God is, guard your heart above all things, for out of it comes the issues of life. And if you don't guard your heart, if you don't make that deliberate decision, then these things choke that way, choke that truth, choke that life, and then along the way you're like, what happened? You know? I mean, you, one day you wake up, you're like, what happened? You know, this is not me. This is not what I'm about. This is not what my heart is about. And see, this is where too, you know, we're called to be in the world, but not of it. You are called to be in the middle of all this stuff, but you have to make that deliberate choice and that deliberate decision to also, you're God's light in the world, but don't let that creep in, and because it wants to creep in and to destroy and to pollute what God's put in you, and you have to fight for that. You have to work with the Spirit of God. And see, even for me, like right now, you know, I mean, things have gotten, you know, exceptionally involved. Yeah, like just so many things are going on, and I'm even noticing now. It's like too, wow, I really need to guard those times with him, guard that connection with him. Because see, nobody cares whether or not you've spent time with God. What they do care about is, you know, is this done? Is that done? Will you sign this? That's what they care about. That's what the world cares about. But nobody cares about your connection with the Father. And you will be the only one that will, I mean, some people might care, but like, you'll be the only one that will really have to protect that, have to guard that. It's your responsibility to cultivate that. You know, and see, when you do that, when you spend time with him, again, back to the whole depth of spirit inside of you for the trials that you face and everything, that depth is grown, that depth is developed. So then when you face the issues of life, there's a foundation that's there that it's like you can draw on. You know, you've got a deposit in heaven that's there for you to draw on because the depth of your relationship is strong. Whereas when people have this periphery, you know, religious observance, you see how shallow it is when they face the trials of life. You know, that's why so many of them are running around asking, you know, just panicked when anything halfway goes wrong in their life.
Yeah.
I mean, how often have you seen, you know, when somebody, just the smallest thing will upset the apple cart, and now they're freaked because there's no trust, there's no relationship, there's no foundation. And so because of that, they don't know what to do because they don't know the God that loves them. Their relationship with God is based on a ritual. Now the ritual has been thrown off because there's something to deal with that they don't know what to do. It falls outside the ritual.
I've seen it happen like this year to two of my friends.
Yeah.
You know, out of the blues, and they're just completely blown off, and they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But
no.
They eventually do find God, and then things go the right way. But when it happens, I mean, you kind of feel sorry for them.
Yeah, yeah. And see, this is okay also too, where you have to see things from a spiritual perspective, where, okay, when difficult circumstances come, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, yeah. Because when difficult stuff happens, that's a time where all of a sudden now people get a chance to come to themselves, to call out to God, to realize who they really are. Can you imagine, all right, everything was hunky-dory, and you go for 60, 70, 80 years down a mossy green path to hell, and you just kind of, it's like, oh yeah, everything's fine, everything's cool. And most people would choose that. Given the option in this life, most people would choose that, an uneventful grease pole to hell. And it's like, so when stuff gets shook up, and that's also why the world works so hard to keep people enslaved in a state of comfortable apathy. It's like, why when stuff gets shook up, that it can be a really good thing, because that's the time when people will call out to God and He'll make Himself real to them. So when people face a sickness or a disease, or when people face a tragedy, or when people face a loss of a job, or just something gets shaken up, that's a chance for them to call out to Him and for Him to be real to them. And they wouldn't have done it had everything gone right. Now see, most people in those situations call out to God because they want things to work out for themselves in the world. And so as soon as everything gets halfway normal again, they go right back to the world all over again, and they forget until the next crisis. But the hope is that for some, that they will have a realization of who He is and will follow Him after that. So like blind, like Bartimaeus, who called out to Jesus, and he's like, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's like when He healed him, he followed him. And that's the hope that you have for people, is that when they have an encounter with the real Christ Jesus and He opens their eyes to see who He really is, that they will then follow Him from that point on and walk with Him, and then walk with life, and then really walk out the journey that God has for them. Closing this parable, that these are they which are sown on the good ground, verse 20, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So there's, again, a different response with that way, with that truth, with that life, where depending also in part on how somebody can receive that, and this is also the grace of God in operation with them, that life is reproduced in that person in a beautiful way. And there's a free will component that we have in our response to this, and just basically saying, okay, Lord, Your way, not mine. So let's go John 17, and I want to touch on verses that we've touched on before, but in slightly different angles, looking at it. John 17 said, "And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." All right, Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So, let's read it again with that put in there. "And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and the way, the truth, and the life, whom Thou hast sent." So life eternal, and living an eternal life right now, this day, is to know the way, to know the truth, and to know life. So life is life. That's not a, a contrary. That's it is. So in that relationship, and then to also be, to that word know is again that same thing, like to be consummated with. So it's, there's a union between you and the Father where there is no more separation. You're literally found in Him, and He's found in you. There is no more separation, because that's even in Jesus, as He went on in the prayer, He said in verse 23, "I in them and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, as Thou hast loved them, Thou hast loved me." So it's like So his prayer, in verse 21, let's go up there too, there says, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that in the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So it's like the prayer for the disciples and the prayer for us, even this day, is that we would be consummated and consumed and intertwined with God's way, God's truth, and God's life. So there is no more separation. That you are, so if somebody sees you, you're literally an ambassador of Christ Jesus, because there's no difference and no separation between you and the Father, and what they see is God's life coming through you. So you are this shining light of God in this world. And that is something too, that is like, as we continue to walk with Him, it becomes more and more and more evident, more and more and more revealed. Now, okay. So, issues to consider, things to consider as well. Alright, you have a body. You have a physical body that has a sinful nature. And you were born into this. So for example, you have flesh where the flesh, in my flesh dwells no good thing. That's what when Paul was writing to the early church. It's like, alright, there's nothing good in your flesh, in your physical body. And if you let your flesh there's people that do that. They've made a religion out of some of this stuff. Where do whatever your flesh wants. And just, you know, let the flesh go completely, no holds barred. And if you see people that have lived like that, you laugh because you have. You see people that have lived like that. I mean, it is one of the quickest ways to exit this life is to let your flesh do whatever it wants, whenever it wants to, because it'll kill you really, really, really fast. Because the flesh, in your flesh and in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Now, we live in the spirit and the soul that you have lives in the flesh. But newsflash, your flesh didn't get born again. So when you come to Christ and when the Spirit of God lives and resides in you and is awakened in you, now you have a war between the natural carnal flesh that you have and the Spirit. See, a lot of this is where, again, I wish somebody would have educated me earlier on about this, rather than, you know, beating you over the head with the, you know, with the Bible, saying, oh, okay, how can you dare have this? No, it's like you have this. The reason you get a new body, the reason God gives you a new body, is the one that you have right now is not going to work. No flesh can glory in the presence of God. So, but realize that you have it, and now your flesh is hooked into your soul. Your flesh is hooked in, because that's, you know, it's like for you to feel, for you to move your fingers, for you to do all of that, it's hooked in, and there's this connection with the two until you die. So now, the flesh that you have has memories, has desires, has appetites, likes chocolate cake. It doesn't want to exercise. It wants to, you know, it's like I like chocolate cake, but it's like, you know, it seeks pleasure, avoids pain. I mean, it gravitates to the most base reality you can possibly find. Left to its own devices, unchecked, will go that way. And realize that that's there. Now, okay. Alright. Because of the fact that in your flesh dwells no good thing, you have to, and I have to, allow the Spirit of God to enable us to develop mastery over our flesh. Where what happens is that, okay, so just like this table here, when I have to make a decision in life now, as somebody with the Spirit of God living inside of me, my spirit, my flesh, and my soul come and sit down at the table. And my spirit says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Because it's in connection with the Spirit of God, and it says, go that way. And my flesh says, I want to go this way. And now, my soul...
Doesn't
the
spirit and soul go hand in hand?
The spirit and soul are... See, here's the thing. Your soul, or your mind as well. You. That's why, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You have to have the mind renewed. You have to be... Your mind has to be washed with the Word. You see, this is where now... You have the decision factor, the deciding factor coming from the free will with the soul. And so the soul is where you're going to make that decision where, okay, are you going to go with flesh? Or are you going to go with spirit? Are you going to be led by the flesh? Or are you going to be led by the spirit? Are you going to default to the flesh? Or are you going to go the way of spirit? And see, this is where too, this is why it's good and important to read the Word. Because when you read the Word, the Spirit of God brings it back to you. You know, when you spend time in the Scriptures, the Spirit of God will quicken those to you. I mean, for me, one thing that's happened, and this is a real blessing I've realized for myself, was, you know, early on, God gave me a considerable amount of time in life to really to study and to learn scripture and all that. And these days I don't have the kind of time like I used to for that. But now God brings back so much from those times where it's like, you know, so He'll bring that back, and it's like, and it's just a blessing because the Holy Spirit is a reminder. But you want to give Him something to remind you of, you know, so it's like, put that in. So study. So let the Word be there. You know, one thing I would do oftentimes when I have trouble sleeping at night is I would put either the Bible on CD, or like people that, you know, I knew that preached a proper Word, that actually preached the truth. And I'd just put it on my earphones and just go to sleep and let that Word soak. You know, just go to sleep with that thing on. Why not? You know, take every opportunity that you can to just flood your life, flood your heart, flood your soul with the Word of God. Because it's like, because every stimulus in this world is trying to give you something else besides that. So it's like I got militant with the whole thing. I said, okay, we're gonna do this. We're gonna just dump this thing in there. Because it's like, you know, I want that Word to be in a place where my spirit and my soul are just being fed and strengthened, because the world that I'm living in right now is getting more and more wicked, more and more dark, and is seeking for any remnant that's still out there. So see, right now all of you are very precious because you're seeking to walk with Christ. And there's not that many left. You know, it's kind of like Highlander, you know, where, like, you know, people are getting knocked off. You know, the servants of truth are, you know, it's like it's just going from more and more. It's just like they're getting, like, either knocked off or they're crossing over to the other side. And for the sake of provision and to not be an outcast and not have to take the beating that, you know, we take for walking with the way, the truth, and living in the life of God. So, okay. Romans 3. And just a little bit about sin. Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, so newsflash to the whole world, everybody's messed up. Everybody's screwed up. Everybody's everybody needs a Savior. Everybody needs, you go to Romans 6:23. which says, oh, actually, wait, no. Nope, sorry, I went one, two, nine. Yeah. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, okay. So, everybody's messed up, and the paycheck that comes as a result of that is death. And see, this is why, too, when we need a Savior, because we're born in sin, we've born messed up, we've all messed up, and then we're going down this path with the rest of the world, where it's like where you have your flesh geared towards it, and everything's pulling you towards that, and this is where when Christ steps in, the Savior steps in, and literally saves us, salvages us. He pulls us out with, here's the way, here's another way, here's the way, here's the truth, here's the life. And when we come to Him and we start coming out that way, it's like you for the first time you know what peace is. For the first time you know what it is to have a release in your soul. To not, see, the thing about sin, like, the world uses it as an enticement. So it's like, so the way that it works oftentimes in the system of the world is, oh, hey, look over here, don't you want this? And your flesh is geared towards that. See, your flesh already has a predisposition towards that, because the genetic programming and something that goes even to the core of your DNA is structured along that way. So it's like, oh, look over here, don't you want this, don't you want this?
Doesn't the soul want the flesh to work towards it?
The soul, separate from God, yeah. The carnal mind. The carnal mind is at enmity with God as well. And see, that's why, too, there's this you have to allow for a whole revamping of your mind when you come to Christ. And see, this is why, too, this is, again, another trap of the religious system of the world. They'll reprogram you in another worldly manner. So now, okay, so say you know that your life is falling apart because you've been on this fast track of sin and it's just screwing up everything. So then it's like, okay, well, I need religion. So you go to, you know, your mosque, your temple, your church, you know, they're all whatever, they're all the same. And you go to those places, and then what they do is then they'll say, ah, okay, you want to get right, good. You know, well, here's how you can be a good little boy. And they'll then give you, here's now your list of do's and don'ts, here's now the practices that you're supposed to do, and come every Thursday, and do this, and do this, and pay this, and, you know, have a puja, and do it in your, this name. And so you go through the, and then, but then, the, so they've reprogrammed you, and reprogrammed your mind, but you're still just as far away. And now, and now, in fact, now I'd venture that you're even worse, because now you've got this perception that you're okay, and you're not, and still hasn't addressed the need in your heart or the need in your soul. What we need is a Savior. And you realize, too, see, people are carnal, people are fallen, and what they want, and what, for those that are the called ones, is you want to be free. You want to know God. You want to know your Creator. You don't want to live in the flesh. You don't want to live in that bondage. You don't want to be a slave to your passions and your lusts. You don't want to be somebody that's, you know, that every time there's something that comes your way, that it's like you're just biting on it. You don't want to be like that. It's like you want to be free from that, because you know that it damages you. You know that it cuts you off from the one that loves you and the one that made you. So it's like, so people know that, but they want to be free. And see, there is no answer and no solution for that in the religions of the world. The answer and the solution comes by the Spirit of God, by the empowering that comes from Him, by the direct connection. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son who you sent, Jesus Christ. That's where that, out of that personal relationship and that personal connection that comes from somebody crying out to Him in honesty, from that place, he meets them, and if they will ask him, he will empower them to then come out from all of those things. And it's a process too, where he works. See, he also works gradually with people. So he's gentle with us in that, like, if there's an addiction or something, he may get to the addiction 6 months later, you know, and he'll work with you with a couple other things up until then. I mean, he'll be systematic with you, but the whole time he's loving you up, the whole time he's building you up, the whole time he's a master builder. And whereas, see, this is again, you know, the way that the world will work. The way the world works is, you love Jesus? Well, you smoke, don't you? Okay, well, you know, how could you possibly love Jesus and you smoke? Condemnation. I'm serious. And it's like, you know what? Here. For me, one thing that I do, and the one thing that I've learned to do, is leave a ton of space for the Spirit of God to work with a person. Because, you know, and if somebody asks me, if somebody wants to know, I'm happy to share with them whatever it is that God's put in my heart, but it has to come from that person. So for me, like for me, personally, my desire is to walk with my Creator. My desire is to know Him. My desire, it really, really is. It's like, I whether anybody believes it or not, I know that, you know, so many of the people, you know, with the church and all, because like issues there, you know, whatever their perceptions may be of me, for whatever, it doesn't matter. My goal and my heart is to walk with Him. And just to know Him. You know, if I can know Him, if I can walk with Him, and if He will give the amen and the approval on my life, what more could I possibly ask for? And so that's the quest, is to know Him and then to live out a life here in connection with Him.
We should look like a fool to the world.
Because see, in the path too, one thing that happens is that Christ will strip you of everything that you are or were or ever could be in the world. See, even right now, like, and so that your foundation truly is Him. And see, this way too, one thing that happens is you get free by Him doing that. So like, okay, right now I'm involved in a ton of stuff. But tomorrow, I could walk away from every one of those things, and I would be just fine. Because my identity is not wrapped up in any of those things. Who I am is not any of those things. My provision, I know, is in Him. So I know if necessary, He will, you know, He will find, I mean, He'll somehow take care of me. Somehow He'll feed me. It's like, so I know that my provision, my protection, my identity is in none of that stuff. And so it's really literally in Him. And see, if you can let that be the case, if you can let your identity be in Him and not your job, not your any of those things, then He can totally shake up your life and your world and reassign you and reallocate you and put you in another place. And you're on this amazing adventure with Him. Yeah, but so many people in the world, their identity is who they are in the world. And then when the system begins to collapse and their identity is shook, it's like, you're nothing if you're not the CEO of such and such, or the managing director of this and that, or you name it, whatever it is. Everything in the world has time stamped on it. Everything in the world is passing away. So focus your life and your heart on that which is eternal. So now here's something to understand though too. You know, all have sinned and fall short of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Yeah. But one thing too that I've seen is that when somebody comes to Christ, and when their eyes are open, that God will also take the very things that were destroying us, were hurting us, were, and He'll take them and He turns the situation around and uses it for His glory and for the good of His kingdom. So it's like, so for example, like many times when you know, people have gone through something, and they've gone through something pretty horrible, He'll take that experience, He'll heal you of it, and then after He heals you of it, He'll use you to be a witness to somebody else that's that of the same thing, that there is a way out, that there is hope, that there is healing available, and that you don't have to, that reality doesn't have to be all that you know. So it's something where it's like, look, whatever the case may be, Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So He works those things out. And I've had that prayer before sometimes where some stuff in my life, I'm like, okay, Lord, how in the world is this going to ever work together for the good of... And yet it does. Maybe it took a couple of years for me to come to the place where I realized, okay, He is using this for the good of those who, you know, He is using this. And but you can't approach it as something out of your own mind and desire for everything to work out well for you in this world. See, there is no happily ever after in this world. What there is an amazing adventure that you can walk out with Christ Jesus. Happily ever after is when you check out. You know, this right now is the rescue mission. This right now is Navy SEALs on the Titanic, you know, grabbing those that are going down with the ship and saying, "Hey, wait, the lifeboat's right over there. Hop in." You know, I mean, there's still room. There's still a chance off. You know, this is special ops, last minute. You know, that's what we're involved in. Now, if you have, you know, some things that you hope for and desire in the world, great, fantastic. But that's really up to the Father. And He knows the desires of your heart. He has a way of meeting those. But that's something between, that's up to Him. And if you let any of those desires rule you, you'll miss what God has for you. So this is something again that I've seen where people have something that they want, and they want it in the world, and because they want it so bad and they couldn't get it in the world through their own manipulation, then they try to spiritualize it, and now, God, I want this from You, so I will pray about it and I'll ask You for it, but I still want this. This is still... And it's, if you're honest about it, how many people do this? I've done it. You know, it's like I've done it. Where it's like, and like later on, when you allow God to really search your heart, it's like, oh wow. You know, I mean, that's still me.
You don't get it. Maybe later on, you realize why you didn't get it, and you feel good about it as well.
Yeah.
Experience.
He knows, and He's in control. The key is, let Him govern that. Let Him take that. Let Him have that. He knows, and He knows in the end what is best for us. And surely He'll do that. And if you turn your life over to Him completely, you allow for Him to do that. If you don't, if you withhold, you then withhold receiving what He has for you. So you limit Him by your own choice. And how often have we done that? Because we want something based on our own understanding, and it's within a limitation, a framework that we've set up in our own mind. So for example, it's like the whole family is going to go to the beach, you know, and the kid refuses to leave the sandbox because he doesn't know anything else. It's like, no, I don't want to go. I like this sand. It's like, no, just get in the car. It's like, no, I don't. Because of his own choice and his refusal, he's missing, you know, huge sand. But he won't let that go. And see, this is why we have to let go of each and every part Let go of each and every desire. Let go. And this is a searching process that again we allow the Spirit of God to do to us. Where you open up your... You see, the world hides from the light. The children of God come into the light. We come into the light and we embrace the light. We open up our lives and our hearts and we know that we're dirty. You know, but we're like, God, clean me and let me come into the light so everything can be exposed. All of it can be revealed. And Lord, you then, seeing and knowing all, you wash me, you cleanse me, you restore me, you make me what you want me to be, and then empower and enable me to walk out a life with you. Empower and enable me to keep moving forward with you in the direction that you lead me. And see, God right now is raising up his people along those lines. He really is. He's pulling out those that are truly his. And they're beautiful, beautiful people. There's something amazing about them. And here's the thing. We do mess up. We do make mistakes. We do, you know, there is... But if you do, get up, dust yourself off, and keep going with Christ. Don't stay in the down. Don't stay in the depression. Don't stay in the beating up in your own mind. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep going with Him. You know, don't stay in that place. Because see, the world will see again, when people's egos get involved and their egos are wrapped up in the perception of who they think they are, then it's like, oh gosh, that person messed up. And then it's like, you know, then the whole world will beat them up and they'll beat themselves up. And rather than that, just allow the Spirit of God, you know, when you mess up, quickly come into the light. Quickly come to Him. Run into the light. Run to the Father and say, Lord, here, I messed up. But you want to walk life out with Him. You want to walk it out clean with Him. And whatever it takes, your prayers, Lord, whatever it takes, you know, just enable me to walk life with you and in truth. You know, I mean, even right now, it's like there's a call to the body of Christ for holiness. You know, there is. There's a need for it. Because without holiness, you know, we don't see God. But it's not a religious form. It's not a religious observance. It's a true thing that the Spirit of God brings you into, that you just, by your will, allow Him to, and follow Him in that leading and direction. So there's, you know, and that's something where it's like, okay, you know, let Him reveal that to you. Let Him show you what that is. You know, I'm not going to put anything on anybody. I just know that it's there, and that it's important, and that I've got enough of a struggle with, you know, going on that line too. But I choose to. You know, I want to. I want that because I know that there's a connection that's that He's calling us to. A little bit of cold.
Yeah, just
me. Okay. Wow. Yeah. I think actually. Okay. Cool. No problem. Okay. Okay. So, now, one of the things too, okay, let's look at one more scripture and then we'll wrap up for tonight. Or maybe a couple more. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 17. And here's something too. Now, as you're walking with the Spirit of God in a connection, just go with whatever it is that the Spirit of God gave you and just stick with what He told you last until He shows you something else. Okay, I'll show you this. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, as I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelleth by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Okay. Verse 8 says, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman, a widow woman, there to sustain thee. Okay. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Okay. Elijah. Very, 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 very cool dude. Really, really like Elijah. God gives him a word. He goes and gives the word to the king. And then God tells him, okay, now I want you to hide yourself. I don't want this guy to be able to find you and track you down in the middle of what I'm about to do. And when he sends him to this place, and this is again God's provision. I'll feed you with the, ravens will come and drop food out for you every day. Can you imagine that? I mean, just every day it's like here's your morning and evening, it's like, they're bringing food for you. I mean, that's pretty cool. But there comes a point, and it came to pass, verse 7, after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, I firmly believe that Elijah would have stayed there and died if God didn't speak to him. Because he had learned in his spirit to stay true to the command that God gave him. And so he's there, he's waiting, it's after he receives the word of God, which says to him, Then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath. That's when he gets up and goes. Why did God have to tell him arise? Because he wasn't going anywhere. Because he knew the instruction and the commandment that God had given him, which was to stay here, and I'm going to feed you, and you stay here until, for right now. And see, this is something too where part and parcel of our walk with Christ is learning to be obedient to the command and the instruction that the Spirit of God gives us. And right now where you are, to walk in that and to stay true to that until the next thing He reveals. So, for me, for example, there's times, even like right now, for me being in Sri Lanka, I know it was a while back, God gave me a specific window of time. He's like, look, be here and don't focus on leaving or anything like that until this window of time is done. And I've been in that. I'm in that right now. And I didn't know all the reasons why. But when jobs get offered to go overseas, when things happen here, I'll travel out for something, but I always am coming back here because this is where, for this season, He wants me to be, and He's made that clear to me. Now, this is again something where it's like He'll speak to you, and when He gives you an instruction, bring it to God in prayer and ask the Spirit of God to quicken and strengthen you to follow that instruction that He tells you and that He gives you, and walk it out. So walk out that instruction and stay true to it until He shows you something else. So there's a lot of pastors that God told them, look, be a pastor, and they went off and became a bishop. And God never told them be a bishop. God never told them, to be this, to try to be that, to try to start a radio ministry, to try to start a television station, they did not stay true to the instruction of God, and then they got out of place. They got out of, and even here, if Elijah would have freaked out, he would have gotten and said, oh gosh, the brook's dried up, you know, what am I going to do? And then gone running off, he would have missed what God was speaking. And when God would have showed him what was next, because he would have got wrapped up again into his carnal mind and his carnal thinking that is saying, here's how to preserve yourself. So we don't seek to preserve our life in this world. That's why, too, with all that's going on in this country right now, with the bombs and the attacks and all that stuff, it's like you realize and know that just stay true to the Spirit of God and what He's showing you, and you're all right. When your time comes, you're fine, because you're checking out, walking with the Spirit, and otherwise, He will protect you, He will keep you, and you won't be in harm's way, because He, by His angels, instructs them and keeps you out of it. So I mean, like, I know and I see the protection of God on the people of God. It's very clear, it's very evident right now. The smartest thing that somebody that doesn't know God in this country would be to line up with Him, because there's protection there. There is no protection in these 100-man convoys that these parliamentarians are running around in. They're getting knocked off. It's protection is with the Spirit of God. You can be in the Spirit of God, like two guys that I know recently that got on the train, the compartment with the bomb, and you know, God moved them over from that one into the one next to it just like a minute before the thing went off. And everybody got blown up in the other one, and these guys were okay, they were shook up, but they just testified of like how God moved them out of the way before this thing happened. Now it'll literally come down to that globally in the days ahead, where 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. That's in Psalms either 90 or 91. So there is a protection that's in the Spirit of God. There's a provision that's in the Spirit of God. And see, here's something too to keep in mind. All right, you have to come back to perspective. Your life came from God. Your breath came from God. The body that you live in, God gave it to you. So it's like you just start thinking about, like, it's all His, and you are here. What are we worried about? You know, what are we concerned about? And yet we start to worry that, you know, that this might not be taken care of. You know, it's like He put the whole thing there. And yet He's taking care of His people. So we just have to trust. Just trust and know that He's there. And He will watch and care for those that are His. And it shouldn't be, what we do should not be from a place of trying to save ourselves in this world. Because if you try to save your life, you lose it. Those who lose their life for Him and for the gospel, they find it. Yeah, let's just touch on this last one and then we'll stop. Matthew chapter 7. Okay. So, in keeping it simple, which is the series that we've been in. Matthew chapter 7, verse 18 says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, Matthew 7:18 says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Again, listen and obey. Alright. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, again, you know, Jesus, back to even the parable of the sower, and how it's sown, you know, some of it's sown on, the devil snatches it away, way, truth, and life. Some of it's sown on shallow ground, again, no foundation. You know, and here it is, what is it that Christ is even saying? Here he says that, look, you hear these sayings of mine, you do with them. So you hear and you do, you hear and you comply, you hear and you obey, you go forward with what God reveals to you. And I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So the rock is Christ Jesus, the foundation is him, and our lives are built upon that foundation. You know, again, back to one thing we talked about recently was, you know, when Peter made the confession, you know, thou art the Christ. Like, yes, upon this rock, upon that foundation, I will build my church. Upon that rock, so who Christ is. So upon that confession of who he is, that this is what the church is built upon. You hear these sayings of his and you do with them. It's like that's where... when you live in that word, that way, the truth, and that life, that foundation, you're building up on that foundation. And the depth of character and of soul is being built into you when you follow him in that way. But for the world that hear these sayings of his and do it them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, the issue there is the storm comes to everybody. They all get the same storm. And right now, globally, people are going to face the same storm. They're going to face the same trial. In this country right now, people are facing the same trial, the same issue. But some people are standing and some people are falling apart. And likewise in the world with the environmental catastrophes that have come and that will increase and come all the more in the days ahead with the economic upheaval and turmoil that's taking place. All of these things, with each of the stuff that happens, there are those, this is the same storm will affect everybody, but one whose house is built on the sand will collapse, and the other one whose house is built on the rock and the foundation and is walking with Christ, doing, living and obeying in him, they're strong. Last scripture that we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We love to flip the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet were ye able. Yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, and ye are not carnal and walking as men. Okay, so again, the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as so as by fire. Okay. We can keep going, but the rest of the chapter is really good to read too. But we're running out of time. The main thing is too, is that we choose, again, you can build different ways. Build with that which lasts. Build with that which has eternal lasting value. And I just realize that the foundation is in Christ. So anyways, we are short on time, so I guess we will stop there for the night. Pick it up. Next week.
Okay, G.
Yeah.
With what was said last week.
Yeah.
You know, just taking all of this into the wisdom walk.
Yeah.
That we carry. People talk about this generation curfew.
Yeah.
But let's do that.
Okay. Here's another thing too. Okay. There's a spiritual aspect to a lot of stuff too. Ephesians talks about how we battle not against flesh and blood, but against, and then it goes through a whole list of spiritual things. There is definitely, you know, impact that we deal with the consequences of other people's actions, and there's. Here's the thing, is with Christ, this is again where you have to come into Him, because that's when He said it is finished. The dividing line is with Him. And see, this is where too, you have to face those things, and by the power of the Spirit of God, break those things. I had to do that. Because for me, there was certain stuff that as I was walking with Christ, that God revealed and showed that this has to be gone back and dealt with. I mean, for example, I have a Hindu name. You know, I was dedicated as a child in a temple in Rameshwaram in India. There's a lot of little stuff here and there. And there was a spiritual residue on my life that was a result and a consequence of that stuff. Now, I didn't know what was going on. I just, you know, and neither did my family when they were doing it. They were doing that in ignorance as truth seekers, but they were still allowing for certain spiritual things that then later on, as God working with me said and created the opportunity to go back and to sever every one of those connections and ties, because He wanted me to walk in an abundant, free life. Now, there can be stuff that people do where, here's the other thing too, the blessing of God comes down through generations as well. So when you have righteous people in your family, you can have people that get blessed down the family line just because your grandfather was a righteous man. Your father was a righteous person. There's a blessing that comes too. And see, that's why too, your life doesn't just affect you. People need to realize that your life and the decisions that you make and the path that you choose has spiritual repercussions for all those who are around you in this day and for all those that will come after you, for sure. And we deal with the consequences of those that came before us. And that's why it's like wherever you are right now, whatever you may be dealing with, it can be and it is finished in Christ Jesus, but you have to come into Him. And see, one thing that happens is if there's an issue like that and you're walking with Him, God will reveal it and will also show you how to be set free from that.
So more than it being a sin that's carried forward, it's like a bondage that's carried forward.
Yeah, there's like
for instance, if my mom has had hatred, you know, the spirit of hatred all her life, it continues into my life, and until I have realized that and prayed, asking God to remove it, I'll always carry that hatred.
Yeah, the spiritual wickedness, the demonic powers in this world, they don't want to play fair. Nothing like that. There is no, you know, fight like a man with them. I mean, they're any inroads, any possibility, anything, they will grab on and hold on for, because they're seeking to access your soul. And so it's like they will look for anything that might possibly be there. And so it's like, excuse me, so that's why too, it's like there is stuff that has come before, that people have engaged in before, where there may be some spiritual residue that needs to be severed, and allow the Spirit of God to reveal that and show that. So see, for me, you know, one of the biggest blessings I have in my life is I've got a father, I've got a dad that walks with God. Huge, huge, like, buffer for me. That just gave me so much space to be able to grow with Christ. Had I not had that, I know that right now I wouldn't be where I'm at with God. I mean, I would be in a different place. I'd probably be walking with Him, but I would have come through a whole lot more and a lot. I mean, it fast-tracked me to, like, so that right now I'm in a place where it's like, whew, yeah, I'm so thankful. But the best thing that you can do, whoever you are, is just right now line your life up with Christ. And just say, Lord, I just want to be free. I want to walk with You. Whatever it is, set me free. Anything. And just do what He shows you in that. So for me, you know, God arranged for me to have a whole trip through India. And literally visit every place where stuff had happened before.
That was connected with
me. That was connected with me. And my dad went. You know, and a couple of spiritual warriors and all. Now, that's the way God worked with me. That's not a formula. That's not something that, like, okay, now everybody's... No, that's the way that God worked with me. For a reason, for a season, and for a purpose. So, for me, it's like at this point right now, nothing's got... There's nothing. You know, it's like this stuff has been severed. Connections are gone. I mean, I can make willful decisions that will impede my walk and... You know, and create access for demonic forces into my life if I so choose. But I don't want that. So in my connection with the Father, I constantly go before Him and just seek Him to make sure that, you know, my life is sealed up by His Spirit so that there's no inroads that these things have with me. Because I want to walk in the abundant life that He has for me. I want to walk in that clean relationship with Him. But yeah, you know, it's like, I mean, we all have different things that you'll deal with. You will. But allow the Spirit of God to reveal that, to expose that, and then to sever those things. See, that's what's cool. It's like you can, you know, whatever the pattern was for the last 10 generations can stop with you this day.